Blog Talk Radio.
There's no reason for you to find fault in me. There's no reason for me to find fault in you. And none of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same sun, breathe the same air, live on the same earth, and under the same sky. So let's just get it right now. Cause you have a soul like I do, so I have no right to judge you. Cause the minute I do, it's a reflection of how I feel about my mind. But we are as perfect as we were created. Let's stop looking at races, classes and faces, share the same space.
Let's stop all the hating.
We might as well get it right now.
Ooh, is it better for some get shunned? Cause they're not a part of a religion of any other reason. Let's get real and get people.
Tonight, I'm going to be very honored, kind of waiting now for our co-host to get around. She'll be in at some point of the evening, and so looking forward to that. So that'll make the evening a little bit much more, I think, exciting, especially because of the subject that we'll be talking about. And I respect her opinion a lot in this field. You know, I was just asked a rather blunt question on this episode of To Liberate. You know, I was asked a very blunt question, and it was, are we just plain crazy? You know, are we just plain crazier than we used to be? And that is something that is on more than a few people's mind and heart. You know, when you pick up the newspaper on any given day, you are seeing just stuff that is seeming to be more and more bizarre. Okay? So, that is what the topic of the evening is going to be. You know, and while we wait for our co-host to get in, you know, I'll just make a few hopefully get some small talk in, and also invite you guys to join us. If you want to call in, you can give us a call, a shout out at 310-982-4136. Again, that number is 310-982-4136. We look forward to it. If you really want to get involved with us and, you know, join the dialogue, I would really appreciate it. Because, you know, like I said, no matter where you live in these United Snakes of America, I mean States of America, you are probably, you know, just a mirror or, you know, a reflection of what's happening, whether you live on the East Coast, West Coast, South, or Midwest. You know, we've pretty much determined that it's a epidemic. But I, another thing I want to say, you know, today is the 11th of April. All you Aries out there, I know y'all still getting it in. I got it in at the first part of the month. So keep on ramming your heads. But what I wanted to remind you guys is that you have a few more days and your taxes are going to be due. You know that these Rothschilds and the Bilderbergers and all those other money changers down there at the Federal Reserve, you know, they need us to, you know, give it up. So we got to get ready and get that stuff in there on time. So just want to remind you, you don't have long. There's a lot of places nowadays that can help you with your taxes. So if you're not in a position or that you can do them yourself, because, you know, some people like the do-it-yourself way, and they're using programs like TurboTax or, you know, EasyTax and all kinds of programs that are out there to help you complete your taxes. So you have until the 15th. Otherwise, you can call. Still get an extension on that. So you better get up on it if you're not already. Some of the stuff that has really been crazy in the news, you know, besides black men always going to jail, followed by black women, they have to look at the Chris Brown situation. I don't know if you guys have been following that. I mean, it's not that I'm really following it, but it's just that it's the same, seems to be the same story over and over again. Young black man, Bobby Brown, Chris Brown, I mean, same stuff, different day. Now he is pretty much the poster child for irrational behavior in Hollywood. And of course, it didn't make it any better that this whole situation with him and Rihanna, he's never going to live that down, and he doesn't know how to walk the straight and narrow. So I like to see how that all plays out. Another thing that kind of got me over the week was not just a little passing of Mickey Rooney, Andy Hardy. I grew up watching Andy Hardy, so it was kind of, you know, I thought he was dead already, to tell you the truth. No disrespect, but rest in peace, Andy Hardy, Mickey Rooney. Debbie Rowe. What the hell is this all about now? Debbie freaking Rowe done gave her damn kids up when they were born. Now, Michael's dead. Paris, she's having mental problems. I'm sure all of them are growing up in that family, but Paris is acting out or has acted out to a degree where, you know, they put her away and let her get some psychiatric help And I guess since then she's been living with the mother, or not living with her, or visiting her, or whatever. They've established some type of relationship. And with that being said, she's visiting her more frequently and really getting to spend girl time with her mom, something that she was never able to do, of course, with Michael. And so now Debbie Rowe is saying that she wants Prince and Paris to come and live with her. What y'all think about that? Holler at me, 310-982-4136. That's going to be the number for you to call in with any comments that you may have. If you want to know what I think about it, I think it's really sad that no matter what happens, black people always ended up giving their money back to the white power structure. That cannot be an coincidence. It just has to be by design. I mean, this cannot be an accident. Every black person who has any type of substantial wealth, I mean, generational wealth, anyone is going to be in a position when they die to have white people come out of nowhere, or Europeans, or non-color people come out of nowhere, either be the total executors of their estates, or marry so much and intertwine into the family that they end up getting their monies back, that it's really pathetic. So I see that happening when I see Debbie Rowe. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a situation where now that Michael's dead, she's moving right back in on this situation to get these children to come back and live with her. So, of course, she can have some of that estate money. And I think my co-host is making her way in here, fortunately. And it's good. So I think we're going to be, it's going to be great. I think they're going to be able to get in here today at some point. Good. Again, I'm going to open up the lines. At any point that you want to call, feel free to give us a call. And that number is going to be 982-4136. Again, that number is 310-982-4136. And we'll holler at you on the other side.
Like an artist, some grandma be saying that ain't gonna be nothing. My daddy be saying that ain't gonna be nothing. Even some teachers did. I don't know if it's because I be playing and stuff, but I still know what I want to do. I don't know if that mad stuff because they done cheated their goals and keep their hope alive. I just feel like they just put it all on me. So what do you do?
your wildest fantasies. Then you'll be free internally. Just don't get caught up in what everybody else thinks you should be. Stay true to who you are. Just let yourself guide yourself to your peak and to your top.
Rush, crack, crack, that's whack. I adapt to the fact that I can't be held back. Somebody need to tell somebody that I shall rise, rise, rise and never fall. Cause I've already reached the bottom to the top. For hope, hope has brought me there. So inhale me deeply and breathe. You
don't lose your hope.
I am.
Selection. I mean, I really feel that. I love it. And if you really think about the words to it, that's what they're saying. They're saying hope. Don't never let it go. My co-host has arrived. We're going to let it open up the line so my co-host can get in there. And hopefully join us on To Liberate. You know she out there somewhere, so we'll give a shot and see if we can bring co-host in. T, are you there? Are you there, T? This phone is just a little. Let me try it one more time. T, are you there?
Yeah.
All right.
Hello.
How you doing? We was hoping you got a chance.
I'm good. How are you? I couldn't pick you up.
I'm just fabulous now. Better now that you called. Got in. Much better. How's your day going today? How was your day, I should say?
It's been pretty good. It's been pretty good. I had a few appointments to keep, but nothing other than that.
Not too busy.
Today.
Nice, beautiful weather, too, right?
Oh, really enjoying the weather. Oh, that was great today.
I believe it was. It's almost like a segue into, what we were talking and waiting on you to get here to talk about, which was, mental illness, which... Oh, the first warm day, of course, brings out a lot of things that you don't see over the winter when everybody's in the house.
Yeah, crazy behavior.
Yes. So the first warm day, not only do you hear, the madness, when you're outside, you begin to see it, and it begins to be much more prevalent, I was saying that, we're going to have an open discussion on mental health and the effect that it's having on our society as a whole and on the black community in general. It just seems like, you know, there are so many issues that, you know, I think there's a saying that you always say, some more than others and some more than most. But
yeah.
Where do you think that this, I mean, and I mean, where do you think, where do we start? Because, you know, we can say all kinds of reasons and causes, but as you look around in your immediate, what do you see to be the biggest mental illness issues that we have in our communities that nobody's really addressing?
Shit, the fact that they don't even know that they're crazy. What you mean? What do I think? The main thing is that evidently they don't know that they're, you know, out of their head already. That's the biggest thing.
See, but the fact is, I mean, well, see, if you're using, like, listen, a lot of times people are like, I don't think that person is crazy. I think that they just use dope. I mean, I've heard all kinds of rationales when it comes to, you know, how we justify, or especially in the black community, it's just like nobody really want to step forward and step it up and say it's a stigma associated with, you know, mental illness. So, you know, I mean, I've even heard it in my family where, you know, somebody might say, oh, you know, they don't need help. You know, they just act like that when they drink too much, you know, or
right.
When they get in a spell. You know, what the hell does that mean? You know, so I guess my question here is, you know, I don't even know really if it's a question. I guess my point, my comment is, you know, drug use can be one component of the madness. But it's so many factors to me that go along with why I think that, especially in the inner cities, they like madhouses without doors. You know, I mean, not only do you have the social constructs that's crazy, you have the family constructs that's, you know, dysfunctional. Then you got the environmental dysfunction. You got babies living right across the street from junkyards. You understand what I'm saying? So when we start putting all them factors, it's like, how can you not be crazy? How can you not be crazy with all these things happening to you on some level? Then let alone add some drugs to the mix.
Okay. So what you say?
Yeah.
The same people don't use drugs?
No, I said no. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that a lot of times. I'm not saying that sane people don't. Is that what you said? Sane people don't use drugs?
No, I couldn't hear what you were saying. You said to add drugs to the factor.
Yeah, I said then you add drugs to it because there's a certain amount of, to me, prolonged use. And I think there's been, you know, some kind of scientific proof that would say, like, after a long period of drug use, you know, you become a little bit mentally, you know, it has an effect on your mental capacity. But after you've used for a long time, like drugs and alcohol, you know, you don't think clear anymore. You know, so...
Yeah, that's the obvious.
So, and
those
you,
are some of the obvious effects.
Right, right. Those are some of the obvious effects.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely. And in your opinion, and working with, you know, because I would always say that you always, some of the conversations we have, you know, you work in a vast variety of places, or you have worked in a vast variety of places where you're dealing with a lot of different elements of society. And in the health field, you know, when you are encountering people on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say the majority of them have, or you know, or a vast majority of them, or what percentage of them would you say, as you're talking to them?
I can't even say. I mean,
if they're stressed out,
everybody you meet is crazy. So, what do you determine that percentage? You don't determine the percentage. You just like, you know, which one is more crazy than the other. Well, there is no percentage. I don't see it as that. I don't look at it as that.
I'm sure on the individual basis, I was just figuring, like, if somebody said to you, you know, I'm, on a daily basis, out of five people, if you run into people all day long, how many would you say, you know, to you seem to have some type of psychosis? And you will say something to the fact that, well, I've seen maybe 25 people a day, and out of them 25, 15 of them seem to be, and I'm not going to use the word crazy because, of course, that, they, you know, they won't. I'll say that 25 of them were mentally ill. So that's, in a way, giving the person a bigger picture, a mental picture of how we see this situation. That's why I kind of presented it and asked you that way, because, you know, you can kind of see it in your mind. Because if you said, well, I see 10 people a day, and 8 of them that come in there seem to be crazy, I'll be like, woo.
Yeah, right.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know when I was at one point when I was really working for the city, and I was, was allowed to deal with a lot of hands-on people, you know, as well, you know, talking about different things. And what I saw when I would come into the heart of the city as opposed to going to the outlying areas is that so many folks, non-white people, especially black people, African descent, were, you know, it seemed like they would get up in the morning and drink beer. And I'm saying this because they was depressed. You get what I'm saying? I would be up in the morning working, and I would see somebody out drinking the beer, and they would be drinking the beer. They may not necessarily be trying to get drunk. You know, they're like, you know, damn, I got some problems with this and problems with that, you know, and actually asking me stuff as I'm going to their home, you know, maybe for some issue, and I don't even want to talk about it now because this person is all sitting up there already early in the morning. Oh, man, I can't pay my rent. You know, my landlord trying to kick us out and yada, yada, yada. And so I'm sitting there with so much depression going on that we predisposed to a lot of mental illness that is just really, in some instances, not even our fault.
Okay. No, it's not our fault. I mean, it's just shit you got to live with. So it's not, you know, we're not to blame for it.
Right.
But they want to blame us, and we don't do nothing about it. So, you know.
I know you was even in terms of, let's see, like say something like when you were, what was one of the person you would tell me you were working at one of the places, I think, and I won't name the place facility by name, but I think that you were telling me how people would come in, give their blood, okay, and be turning tricks in the hallway, in the bathroom. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's psychotic. Now,
let them come in there and do this shit too.
Say what?
I said, what's more psychotic than people that let them come in there and do it too?
Well, I agree. The ones that let them come in and do it. Well, I'm sure they don't open the door and say, you know, come in, this is what we're going to do. But the fact of the matter is, they know that they're doing it, and do you seem like nobody cares?
They don't.
So when somebody does care, they seem to be, you know, the people act as if they're the one that's mentally ill.
Yeah,
why would you even worry about something like that?
How can you not? I mean, you don't worry about it. You just know that, you know, you're one of the ones that's outnumbered compared to those that don't give a damn about it.
Yeah,
so they want you to go on the rest. Right, not giving a fuck either way. Who cares? That's how they act.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want you to care either.
Yeah, you know, which is not a good attitude to have, especially when you're working with people, you know, to act as if you don't care, you know, as if you're just, you know, dead, you know, it's just not caring about anything, and it's like, why are you here?
You're there to do a service and be really concerned about people, but you come into a place that don't want you to really do what you're there to do. So it's all a bunch of bull. It's just a game that they want you to play to get what they want out of you. A lot of the blood centers is located in the black community so they can suck and prey off the people. That's all. Don't put them in the white community so they can pray off of those people. Just eyes mostly. Not
Amazing.
Saying that tears don't be prayed upon.
Mm-hmm. Or the Planned Parenthoods.
Yeah.
You know, you notice how they're just totally saturated in the black community? You know?
I mean, it says more babies were lost through Planned Parenthood than the Atlantic slave trade. So, I mean, how can you knock that and not say there's, you know, mental illness that we help us commit our own genocide? But they doing it under the auspices of helping. So, you know, what's crazier? They think that you're getting some help and they're really killing you and everything that look like you. So. So who's really crazy?
So in your opinion, when you look at, because like I said, you know, if white people have a cold, black people got pneumonia. So if white people is crazy, then black people is off the chain. But when you look at collectively, when you look at the inner cities and what's bringing them down mentally, do you think it's environmental, or do you think it's social, or would you think it's family, or a combination of them all? I mean,
yeah, combination of all of it. No one over the other. I mean, it's white folks crazy and white folks neighborhood too. So, you know, you just don't hear about the insanities. You don't see it because you don't live in their communities. But they don't want the thought of them to act just like them. So, you know, we got it from our teachers.
I agree with that. But no, I'm saying that since, you know, we living in, I mean, since we don't live out there with them, and most of us live in an area that's pretty surrounded with them while we're concentrated in one area. And when you're looking at us from those eyes, when you see the problems that we're having, you know, do you see, that's what you see? You see a combination automatically of social, family, or do you see one above the other right away when you first see some? When you first see somebody, you know, when I first see somebody, I'm trying to give you an example. Maybe I'm not explaining what I'm saying. I know at one time, it's like I'm seeing stuff now that at one time I would say, oh, they probably came from a bad family. And maybe that might be something, you know, or a family that didn't nurture them or whatever. That might have been something that may not have been a right way to describe something. But now I'm seeing people that seem like they just actually stepped off of a psych ward. And the illnesses and the pressures and the problems that I'm seeing are a lot more deeper than somebody just had some family problems. I'm actually seeing people walk down the street swinging at the air, punching on themselves, punching up in the air, running up and down the street, talking in place, like they're on some severe psych medicines. So when you see them,
you just don't see their phone. Just because you don't see their phone don't mean that they're not talking to somebody. You don't see their telephone. Or you don't see the people that's walking beside them talking. People talk to spirits all the time.
Right, but when they're on the bus stop and doing that, usually people are going to look at them like, I mean, come on, in all realness, usually people are going to look like, what's going on here? So my point is, you know, I'm starting to see a lot of people that I'm wondering, you know, it was like almost a time when Ronald Reagan let all those people out of they cut all those fundings and let all the people out from those mental health facilities that really, really needed to be in there, okay? And at one point, they released them all and said that don't have no funding and we're going to find buildings and stuff and put them in. Well, a lot of them were under the bridges.
They did what they did here to Wisconsin, too. They ain't no different. You know, they closed down a lot of facilities for mental health.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm talking about.
And they just turn them out to the streets. Well, them people are human beings. They find other people just like them. They have relationships. They make babies. They, you know, don't care for them or provide whatever they know to provide for them. It don't mean that they, you know, they don't get no less care from their parent because they're crazy. They might not get all of what they want or need or what society deems necessary, but what can you do? Always got what was left over or, you know, the bare minimum anyway. So,
right. No, I was just saying, don't you think that since that happened, that it seemed like a lot, it started going all downhill ever since then? In terms of mental illness and as many people as you start seeing out on the streets now acting like that?
Well, yeah. What do you expect?
You see more and more of it.
There's nobody to address it. A lot more of it because there's no places to get no assistance for it. They're not treating it like they used to treat it. That's something that needs to be treated. They decided it wasn't as important. So...
I agree.
That's the government. That's the decision the government made for everybody. It ain't just, you know, it ain't black people in the community deciding this is what we're going to do for our own people, just decide not to get them no help for mental illness. You know, that's just something that's been put on us again. And then, of course, you know, they want the patient to. They want the people that's been subjected to it to fix their own problems that's been caused by them. They create the problems. They want you to fix your own shit. So what? Like people now, nobody want to support each other, not help each other, or not try to correct any behaviors. Everybody afraid of one another. Everybody just sit around and talk about each other being psychotic or crazy or mentally ill and, you know, insufficient and dysfunctional, and it's just labels and tags. And,
but that's what's happening.
Idle kind of bullshit conversation. That's all.
Hmm?
I said it's labels and tags and bullshit conversation. That's all it is.
Right.
Just have something to talk about.
Is real. But mental illness is real.
Yeah.
But you know it's real.
I know it's real, but I'm just saying that's what they do with it.
Yeah, we know it's real, but mental illness is real. And mental illness in the black community is very real. And, in fact, I heard it said on more than one occasion that the hood is a graveyard, a psych ward. And so we have people running around in this psych ward that are used to it. It's walking through the hood is like walking through a landfill of people that are unstable, stressed out, overworked, underpaid, family stresses, lack of, all these things and these big issues are dumped enormously, 50 times 50 in the hood as opposed to other communities, because we are, you know, for our, we don't work. Well, 50, you know, the you know, we're not employed. We're not employable. We don't
create
any jobs.
Okay, so where's the community? You keep saying our community.
There is no community. We got, you know what, I should have took that back. I should have said neighborhoods. Because we really don't have communities, and you're absolutely right. We have neighborhoods. We don't have community. So that's those things to me are the very ingredient to make a person crazy, where you don't have the means to take care of yourself. You can't have a job. You can't 50 or 70% of you are unemployed. And nobody wants to hire us. And then they dump everything that's terrible in our community environment. Then you go and have a liquor store or a church on every corner. And so you have everything that's in the outer communities. You have a multiplied by 50 in just a small space where black people consume the area. And in that small space, they saturate it with all these things that help make you crazy, like the church house, the liquor stores, the drug house, everything, you know, Planned Parenthood, all the things that are set up to drive us crazy and that we have taken advantage of in some way, shape, form, or fashion. It's always multiplied by 1,000. Again, 50 to 1,000 times when it comes to us. You got more abortion clinics in the inner city than you have in the whole damn three suburban counties. They might have one in each county. We got one in each freaking every four or five blocks. Those type of discrepancies, I think those are the things that... that's why I said sometimes, in some instances... When you say, yeah, it is a combination of all three, then you say, wow, you're right. And some of these people are even promoting it. We have social organizations that actually promote it. They promote us to be crazy. Look at the church house. Look at the institutions of our schools. And this is all social. Planned Parenthood, that's a social organization.
Right. It's a social organization designed to destroy black people, our people.
Yep.
It's not designed to help the community. It's not designed to help nobody of color. It's designed to kill the lives of colored people. People of color, rather.
That's very important what you said. A lot of people don't want to hear that. Y'all can join in this conversation. If you're sitting out there, I see you. You can say something and feel free to join me at 310-982-4136. What we're just talking about is mental illness in the community, in the community that we live. I don't know where, maybe you might want to call in and share one of the stories that you have about how do you think that
Mental illness. Yeah, I talk about the mental illness that's going over these young people right now, where they just discover they ass for the first time. Everybody want to be twerk queens, even the guys. Now, that if that ain't crazy, I don't know what crazy is. That's to be. Everybody want to be, everybody wants their ass out. They want to either twerk or they want to just walk around on the street with their dirty drawers showing and their ass out. Men and women alike.
What's up?
So that's the body part. That's the body part of the century is the ass. But I guess they figure they can't get nowhere unless they use their ass.
Isn't that sick? I mean, the more you think about it, you know, if you're not twerking, you're having men with their pants so low, under their behind, and then have the nerve, the absolute audacity, to put a belt on and tie it on under their legs. So it's under their butt, on their thighs.
Under their nuts, too.
Oh,
that'd be
out too. What is wrong with them? That, to me, now, somebody said, well, that's a social construct now.
That's a social construct.
You
got to
be stupid. See, I don't want to mix mental illness up with being just plain stupid. You know, I think it's I don't want to get a mental illness, people that's really having a challenge with how they think. You know, I really want to give them the respect that they're due. And not clump them in with people who are just plain stupid. Because it is a difference. I mean, you have some people that are just challenged mentally.
I mean,
that's
just your...
You don't...
That's
you don't
just one of your
that?
Personal... That's just one of your personal views, again, is that they being stupid. Because anybody with any common sense or any... real non-mental challenges will be walking around with their ass hanging out all the time everywhere they go. You know, wouldn't have their ass exposed. You know, you tell me that that's a norm. I don't think it has nothing to do with being stupid. I think you have to be really mentally ill to do that. And it shows how many...
I think because kids are very impressionable. And just like they have stupid styles, they'll gravitate towards a real dumb style. And to their parents, just like we wore sacks, they will wear a stupid style and be very smart in terms of academically. But they won't do it in front of their mother. They'll wait till they leave the house, go a block down the street, pull them pants down, and look like some damn fools. That's stupid. And there's a big difference. Because some of these young men that pull their pants down and wear it like that, they do it because they think they're being cool. And they don't have no role models. And they don't have nobody who have taught them and showed them anything. So they're emulating these rappers, emulating stupid stuff that they see on the videos. They never had no men to really emulate. They emulate styles and imagery. So that type of stupid, that's foolishness. And it's a big difference to me when I really try to discern, because I always do that. I try to see if, there's some people that are just challenged mentally and there's nothing you can do. I mean, they even have to take medicine or maybe they are just, could be, just don't think right. Maybe they got a hold of some bad drugs. Okay, fried their brain out. Okay, whatever. Bam. The bottom line is, they still running around the community too, but there are some people in this damn community, like little young guys, like you see, they're not really stupid at all. They're very bright. They're not mentally ill. They're just stupid, is what I'm trying to say. Because that right there, you're following a stupid style. And you got better sense than that. And then once you tell them where that style came from, why they always saying, oh, okay, Miss Bream, okay. Oh, no, I didn't know it came from that. So it's ignorance. You know, a combination. But I don't think I consider that mental illness. So, Let me make sure I'm clear on that. In most places, that is. You know, because you, these young kids are just stupid. Some of them are just really silly. And if they see a Weezy do it, they think that means it's cool. Like, R. Kelly had a video where he had one side of his hair French braided and the other side not. Do you know that summer every black kid had their hair like that, young man? One side of their hair braided and one side not.
No.
Because we don't have no role models. Because we don't have anything that will make you idolize something other than the damn TV screen. That's why I believe we end up being so mental. Because we are idolizing imagery and stuff that's not real in the beginning. Then we can't hardly live up to those expectations or the reality of what we're seeing in the, on the idiot box. And then we start going crazy.
Well, the expectations is if you are a black man in the community to stand up for something that you believe in that's right for your people as a whole,
mm-hmm.
they know that they're going to get shot or killed for speaking up or standing up
mm-hmm.
for something. Okay, so what's easier?
Wow.
You don't want to do that. When you ask little kids, don't you want to go up and represent your community and your people and fight for your people's rights?
What's it say?
They'll say no. Why? Because they always get dead. And that's what our black men have learned. And so their desire has been killed along with that. Mental illness, yeah. Instilled mental illness. That's been passed down generation to generation.
That
and not to make a difference.
It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Look at the crux of that. That's very sad.
Mm-hmm. Anything positive,
white folks don't mind
because
we don't matter. They don't mind about that. That's an internal problem, you know. And although the human family should care for one another, nobody
mm-hmm.
can get us out of this mess. No one. Nobody can address our mental illness but us. I believe that black people, though, have to stop putting the stigma so much on mental illness to the point where people don't want to get no help, where you got them walking down the street knowing they need some psychiatric help and they run from it. They don't want to talk about it. There's so much stigma involved in it and with it that black people as in general will be like, no, I don't want to deal with that. They'll deal with anything, but they don't want to deal with that crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody call them crazy. You know, I've heard so many reasons about why we don't address certain things when we ask people. You know, oh man, I don't want nobody to know I'm going to no psychiatrist. Try to get a black man to go to therapy. Man, ain't them white folks, can't nobody tell me nothing about my shit. I ain't going to no damn doctor. Kind of like, you know, we, you know, so we have to be honest, too. Because I'm guilty of some of that myself.
But there's a whole lot of black psychologists out there that black folks feel. I think that's what another black person that requires saying. If that's a rationale, that's part of a reality.
Right.
And everything you go.
And then no black psychiatrist is dealing with white supremacy. And what construct that plays on your mind. Well, and how you got to act like it doesn't exist in order to appease white people. You have to act like all this stuff doesn't matter, a lot of stuff that you feel, and when you feel oppressed, you get even more depressed in your oppression because you're not even allowed to express it, let alone vent because of it. And then it gets to a point where you have to rage about it because it is so supremely suppressed. Because nobody cares.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's not a good thing. That's a recipe for a walking time bomb. You never let them vent, but you keep piling stuff on them. But you never let them vent. That can never end in nothing nice. It's always going to end in some kind of riot, some kind of mayhem, because nobody's talking. I mean, and you can't push people to the brink like that. You just can't do it. But, you know, I just sat up here and got to the crux of everything so fast. When you came and joined, I had a few more questions I was going to get into about the environment of mental illness, but I think I'm just going to have to wait to part two because we are coming down on the last few minutes of the program. It came so fast and went so fast that Miss T, that time just went so fast when you came and joined us that we got to do this again.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad. Oh, it's my pleasure. I really enjoyed myself.
I really hope you did. I loved your insights. I loved your insights to mental illness and just a little bit you shared. I would love to have us do that again. And I know that hopefully if I can call on you again, you can share some more of those good insights with us.
Oh, yeah, I got plenty more where that comes from. Yeah, well, you know, I appreciate you inviting me, so thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, I want everybody to know that we're going to take up this mantle again on the next program to liberate, and I hope y'all can join us. Don't just listen, participate. We appreciate you being there. And next time, give us some feedback. We want to see you participate. But I appreciate you being there. Thank you very much for joining us on to liberate. And we're going to see you next time.